Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Radio Islam International. Just a reminder also to our listeners that we would like to remind you that Radio Islam has a pop-up stall at the Trade Route Mall on the first floor opposite Figo's. If you are at the mall and you would like to make a donation to Radio Islam, you may visit our pop-up stall, inshallah. Also, you know, the money goes for a very good cause, inshallah. So this morning we're talking about the importance of gratitude, a message to our youth. Our theme this week, or this Ramadan, on Radio Islam is an attitude of gratitude. And this reminder is something that is firstly a reminder for me and for everyone that is listening, the importance of being grateful. And my guest this morning is Muallima Zakira Ansar Mia from Durban. She always has so much that we can learn from and so much to share with us. And it's always a pleasure to have her on air with me. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you this morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. A little bit chilled, but all good, alhamdulillah.
How is the weather on your side, sister?
So it's been raining for a few days now, but we're not complaining, alhamdulillah. Our first few days of Ramadan were quite the scorcher. So alhamdulillah, it's cooled down considerably. Today is a grey sky and a few drizzles, but we're all good, alhamdulillah.
Shukr, alhamdulillah. Like we said, we're talking about gratitude this morning.
Yes, most certainly. So I think the theme Radio Islam has chosen is an amazing one. And I'll tell you why I feel this, because we're sort of coming off a lockdown. Well, we're not completely off it, but in the whole aftermath of this, a lot of us have come to a point where things are not as they used to be. And when things aren't exactly as they used to be, it takes a lot out of us to find contentment in where we are at currently. And one of the most amazing things is when you choose to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what it is you have, that gives you this perspective of, alhamdulillah, I'm content with what I have, even though it may be less than what I had, even though it may not be exactly like it used to be.
Most definitely. That's why we say gratitude is so, so, so important. And you are going to explain to us, in your view, why is gratitude so important?
Yes, indeed. So if we start off, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, if we had to start off with the whole understanding of why gratitude is so important, I think that perhaps we would just go through life robotically or in a very mundane manner if we didn't choose to be grateful for the things that we have. And we would also sometimes end up with a sense of entitlement, and that can lead to, I'm sure many of the psychologists out there or the counselors like myself will tell you that we have people coming to us on a weekly, monthly basis who are suffering from various depressions. One of the things that leads to depression is when we can't fully understand why we're going through what we're going through. And part of the process of healing is when we are able to take in whatever is happening at that moment as being from Allah, yes, mm-hmm. but also when we are able to be thankful for what it is and the fact that it's not worse than this. So gratitude is so important to lead a holistic, complete lifestyle in that sense, because we get to understand, we get to see things through a different lens, perhaps, if I could put it that way.
Yes.
Being grateful turns us into individuals that become more appreciative of the things that we have around us, of the simple blessings, if I could put it that way.
And, you know, Muallima, you're saying simple blessings. If you think about the simple blessing of the fact that your eyes opened up this morning, the fact that you have eyes, you have the ability to smell, you have the ability to hear, you have your fingers, you are alive. These are simple things that we do take for granted.
Yes, most certainly. It's amazing that you touch on that. I've been reading Mufti's 30 Ways to Happiness, Mufti Yusuf Musajjid's, and one of the amazing things that he mentions there is an anecdotal incident of a sheikh and his student, and the student came in very morbid and moping, and the sheikh asked him, what is it? And he said, I'm miserable. And the sheikh said, okay, well, what would make you happy? He said, you know, if I were financially more, if I had more financial in the shop, I said, fine. I'll take away your eyesight for 500 dinars. So your hearing for another 500 and your sense of speech for another 500. And the student looked shocked. He was like, what? No, no way am I giving you any of those for no matter how much money you offer me. So dramatically, the sheikh, in his most amazing way, was getting the student to understand you have blessings for which you ought to be very thankful for. Sometimes it's just that our gaze shifts from those blessings and we forget that they are things that we need to be grateful for.
Absolutely, and such a beautiful, beautiful story to bring out this importance of being grateful, inshallah. MashaAllah, Abba, MashaAllah. Abba, what does the Quran and Hadith teach us about being grateful? You know, this is like an important message to the youth that are listening out there, and we always need these reminders. I mean, obviously we learn about gratitude so much in Quran, so much in Hadith, but please, if you can share with us.
Okay, so if we look at gratitude, then we're looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the very famous incident, the very famous ayah rather, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, la in shakartum la azidannakum. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. This is just part of an ayah, obviously, but the most crucial part to the discussion that we are having, that if you are grateful, O my servants, I will increase for you. And often, you know, when we read this to our students, or we try and explain it even in a halaqa of ta'aleem or something, it's probably understood or looked at that, you know what, if I'm grateful for something, I'm going to get more of that particular thing.
Yes.
But nowhere in this ayah does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us here to be grateful overall for everything that we have. And the la'azidannakum, I will give you more, is not merely that you will get more monetarily or you will get more in terms of that particular whatever it is you're being grateful for. It's overall, you will become so much more, overall you will have so much more that you will be able to be grateful for. You will have so much more barakah in things. You will be so much more of a content person. You will have all this. Because barakah really doesn't mean that we just have more monetarily. But the fact that our health is better today is barakah in our health.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that as a family we're more united, that's barakah in our family. So when we start being grateful to Allah for every single thing that we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests in those very areas and others in our life how His mercifulness manifests in all those areas for us. So we see it. We see the physical manifestations. We see that, you know what, I was really thankful that Allah gave me children. And alhamdulillah, look at how Allah has made them. Allah has made them obedient. Allah has made them good children. Well, I was thankful to Allah that Allah kept my parents. So many have lost their parents in this pandemic.
Yes.
And alhamdulillah, look how nicely, you know, this Eid, we get to spend it with these family members, with whatever it may be. But it's physical manifestations of Allah's mercy on us when we are grateful. And when we look at it from a hadith perspective, then we understand that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would want to show gratitude, it was such an amazing way. So this hadith is from Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. She says the Prophet would pray nafal salah حَتَّى تَتَفَتَّرَ قَدَمَاهُ until his feet would swell up to such a degree that I would say to him, O Prophet of Allah, aren't you past and, you know, your sins are like all forgiven, you're ma'asum, you're from the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. What is this? Like, why are you standing for such long raka'at? So her understanding was that, like my and your understanding would be, right?
Yes.
I'm so sinful. I really ought to ask Allah for forgiveness. And so no matter how long my raka'ats of salah are, I'm never feeling content with it because I feel like I did so much of sin. I meant to go all out there and ask Allah for forgiveness. But what was the Prophet's response, Sister Bibi Aisha? And this is so amazing. He said, أَفَلَا أَنْ أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا? Should I not be a grateful slave? Wow. Amazing, right? So his response to Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's response was, this isn't, this that you are seeing, this exerting myself, isn't because of what you're thinking. It's because I'm so grateful to Allah that I feel as though no matter how much gratitude I show to Him, it will never be enough. May Allah grant us that type of an understanding.
Ameen. Thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. When you listen to something like this and you think to yourself, ya Allah, we are so grateful to Ya Allah and our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for showing that example where we follow His Sunnah, inshallah. Ameen. Thumma ameen, bi rahmatir rahmeen. Abba, you're going to, inshallah, please tell us, you know, there was another narration of the boy, the story of the one who wanted to choose. If you can just share that with us. I mean, a lot of us are familiar with it, but it's always good to have this reminder.
Yes, most certainly. It's actually a famous narration that comes around this time of year, because it was around the time of Eid that the little boy came saying that his shoes were now, you know, the sole was opening up and it was rainy and the water was coming in, so he could feel the dampness on his shoe. And it's even mentioned in our little kids' hadith kitab, you know, just the other day I was doing it when I was one of the students. That's why it stood out in my mind today when we were discussing. And he came in and he was like, you know, in a very complacent sort of, like he was ready to complain, basically.
Yeah.
And immediately his dad brought him to the window and this, my dear parents listening, this is where we ought to change our children's mindset. For a moment, I'm not saying that when we are able to give our children, we shouldn't give them, because many of us would love to give our children all that we have because they are our children, they are our mana and we love them. But look at this parent's way of getting the child to see things. So after that, the story doesn't go on to say if after that the dad bought the son the shoes or not. Personally, if I was the dad, even if I did buy the child the shoes after that, he would have still had an indelible lesson. So before I get too carried away, so the little boy comes to the dad and he's complaining about it, or, you know, saying how everything, his socks got wet and whatever, and the dad takes him to the window and they both look out, and there in the street is a child with no legs, no feet. And immediately the boy is silent, because he then realizes, yes, as much as his shoes are broken, are torn, and, you know, the water is coming in and, you know, his socks got wet and he's a little bit moody about that, he has feet. He has feet. Allah has given him feet to run about and go and do whatever he needs to do. And that's something that he ought to be grateful for. So this is why in this month when we are also doing these hamper drives and all these things, and it's a great initiative, mashallah, let's take our children out there with us. Let them see what others don't have that they do have, so that our children become more understanding of the bounties that Allah has blessed them with, and in turn they become more grateful, inshallah.
Ameen. Thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. And in that way, like we say, parents are always the best examples. But we will be talking about that a little more just now. But inshallah, please, if you can, discuss with us now. Our youth have so much to be grateful for, in your opinion. We're going to be dealing with other aspects a little later or after the ad break. But in your opinion, with working with the youth, working with young girls, what do you feel about this? Please elaborate. Our youth have so much to be grateful for as compared to many, many, many other youth around the world.
Most certainly. I think, Sister Bibi Aisha, even in the line of work that you do, you know, helping aid organizations, etc., you probably come across these relief organizations collecting for this, for that, and a lot of the pictures that come back from there show us youth, young people. And if you read stories about them, especially when the aid workers go out and they interact with these young people and they come back with the stories for us, and they say, like, I clearly remember someone from the family, you know, an acquaintance joined, what was it? I can't remember which relief organization.
Yes, one of the organizations.
The story that they came back with was of a 14-year-old young boy who was basically helping them offload the truck. with the aid. Mm-hmm. And when they asked this young man, young boy, what is it like? I mean, you're here, shouldn't you be in a school or something like that? And he says, no, my dad passed away. And, I'm in this little refugee camp now with my mom and two other siblings that are younger than me. And every day I do this. I go out and I find some menial labor to do so that I can take home a few rands, some money, just so that we can buy something.
So this young, basically a child-headed household.
A young boy blossoming in his youth who has all the potential of becoming whatever he wants to become. But he cannot go out and do, the studying or whatever our youth are looking at. And this is why I'm saying, even when we are doing these hamper drives, take our young ones with us, take our children with us. Because if I were to say you get children in today's time that would come back, a 14-year-old going to school, what grade would they be in? Maybe grade 10? Mm-hmm. You'd coming back and complaining, oh, my accounting teacher is such a nag, and my physics teacher is so boring, and, and all that given that sometimes school tends to be, it tends to take its toll on them. But when given this understanding, and when they can see that there are other youth out there who'd give anything for what they have to be able to study, I think everything takes a different perspective.
Definitely, it's from the lens that you choose
to look at it. And when mom and dad, are just disciplining or doing this kind of thing, the youth tend to become a bit, mommy, again she started. Papa, again he's saying that same thing he told us. But what we don't realize is some youth would do anything to have a mom and dad.
That was the next point. We're talking about being grateful for our parents.
They would do anything to have a mom and dad. Yes, I know at the age of being a young person, it isn't necessarily always easy to accept everything that they say because your mindset is different, their mindset is different, they may do things the way they see fit, they may even have their old school mentality like you would like to call it, and you may see things in a different way now and you may butt heads often. But at the end of the day, my dear youth out there, let's remember one thing. Let's remember that our parents are those shadows over us that keep us rightly guided. They are those people that are in our lives that if they weren't around, we would so sorely miss them for the very small, again I'm saying in inverted commas, small menial things so-calledly that they do for us. And why is it that we don't realize it when they are around? Because it's just all run of the mill. They're doing it all the time. They're always there to catch us. If we fall, they're always there. They always have our back. So sometimes we've never realized that they're always there.
We tend to take it for granted. Yes, definitely. Yes. And also when it comes to grandparents and extended family members, what a blessing that we often take for granted.
I think our own sister Faiza Munshi said this very nicely the other day. I saw a post of hers, and I found it so interesting. Because she was speaking about extended families and how in the past we lived as communities or we lived at, so basically, Sister Bibi Aisha, you remember this, that say, for example, you were the girlie riding your bike and it was Maghrib time and the neighbor or the uncle that lived across the road, he may have been family, not family, and he saw you and he said, hey, what are you doing riding on the street at Maghrib time? Come on, go in now.
Yes. And they would do it lovingly.
He would take every child in the neighborhood as his own. And that's what we lack in today to some degree. Maybe because we've started living very isolatedly and we don't live in communal families anymore. I don't know. But I think that's one of the reasons why our children don't look at their grandparents and aunts and uncles with the same kind of lenses that we did back in the day. Mm-hmm. Don't look at them as parent replacements. They don't look at them as substitutes to parents, that if they tell them something, it's just as well as if your parent told you that or your.
And it also obviously comes from a place of caring, a place of love. That's why they're telling you that.
Most certainly. And if it was from, that our children looked at grandparents and aunts and uncles like this, that whole appreciation towards them would have been more. You know, I appreciate that I have these people in my life. Nowadays, if aunts and uncles and grandparents had to intervene, sometimes not only the youth, their parents would even get upset. Like, why are you telling my kid this, you know, kind of thing. So I think a little bit there as well is because why our youth don't take these people so seriously or don't appreciate them as much as they should, perhaps comes back to us as parents. What role have we allowed them to play in our children's lives? And how much have we made them part of our children's lives?
And we're going to talk about that a little more, inshallah, after the ad break, Mu'alima, where we can talk about, you know, how parents can assist their children and teach them about gratitude and how this attitude of gratitude can spread towards all family members, inshallah. And we will be returning shortly, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey. And this morning we're talking about the importance of gratitude, a message to our youth with Mu'alima Zakira Ansar Mia. And before the ad break, we spoke about the importance of gratitude. What does the Quran and the Hadith tell us about gratitude? And also for children, for our youth to be grateful to their parents and extended family members, because there's so much to be grateful for and we are so blessed, and often we forget about the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered upon us. Well, Lima, before the ad break, like I said, these are all the points that we spoke about. We spoke about parents and extended family members and the role that they play in our lives. Could you please elaborate on that for us?
Yes, indeed. I think, you know, when we look at what role parents play in the children of their, in the lives of their children, rather, sorry, in order to get them to understand gratitude, we look at it from the perspective of how grateful parents are. If parents are grateful themselves for bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then children will remember to do that. For example, if every time your child sees something going right in your life, and you resort to saying, I've got to thank Allah for that, and they see you praying an extra 2 rak'ahs of nafil salah as shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then most certainly this will get them to understand that everything comes from Allah, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us, we ought to take it very seriously and we ought to, you know, be grateful for it to an extent where we outwardly not only verbalize, but we outwardly actually show gratitude when Allah blesses us with wealth. Our means of gratitude we can show is by sharing with others. So when our children see us giving charity, and when we give this charity, we speak about it to our children and express to them that, look, we're giving because Allah has given us so much. Again, another valuable lesson. When we also make dua for others, we teach our children a means of gratitude for the people in their life. So, for example, that Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was leading, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a beautiful dua for him, which started off, and I just want to, you know, zoom in on this first point, زَوَّدَكَ اللَّهُ التَّقْوَى. What an amazing way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for this journey you're embarking on, O Mu'adh, may Allah give you taqwa as your provision. May Allah give you the ability to be aware of Him. So what are we teaching our youth in terms of being grateful? We're teaching them that when we have someone special in our life and when we want goodness for them, then if we cannot do anything for them, one of the ways is by making dua for them. And we make dua for their good health. We make dua that Allah give them long lives. And like this, you know, if they are very grateful that Allah gave them grandparents or good aunts and good uncles, this is another way of teaching them to show gratitude for these people. Making dua for these people. Make dua for that Allah grant them good things in this world. So that's another way of teaching our children that gratitude is not merely in how we express ourselves to people. Gratitude also can be shown in the secret things that we do for these people. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think in essence, when it comes to parents showing gratitude, you know, sometimes as parents, we also become a little bit, should I say, whiny or, you know, mopey maybe if something doesn't go wrong. And then we start saying things like, yeah, you know, that business deal. And the children are around and they're listening.
And they're listening, yes.
This deal didn't turn out right then. Even, I don't know, everything's just going wrong this week. Or the mother, you know, kids come home and she's like, yeah, you know, the helper didn't pitch up and then it was raining on top of it. The washing didn't dry. You know, we're human, right? We're human. We need to offload sometimes. But when we do it in a way where it's a constant and that's all our children hear, believe it or not, they grow up with this complainy, mopey, groany, moany kind of attitude. So if we don't want that for our children, then yes, catch yourself when you can complain, no problem, we're all human. But catch yourself in the act and realize what you've just done and how it's going to affect the children and stop yourself in your tracks so that this kind of attitude doesn't pass on to their young minds and their young hearts, and they don't think that it's fine to go through life whining and moaning and groaning all the time.
Very, very important. And also, when we said about being grateful, it's like when getting children involved in chores. You know, we discussed it earlier in our conversation in preparation for the show, and we were saying that when children are doing chores, they learn responsibility, they learn life skills, and they learn to be grateful for the knowledge that they're gaining because it helps them.
You know, Cecilia, actually, when you were speaking about entitlement a little while ago, that's what I was speaking about. Sometimes when our children grow up in a home where everything is found and everything is done and, you know, it's like always like that, I'm afraid that something that settles within them is a sense of sort of like, if I would call it that, entitlement. Like, this is how it's supposed to be. I'm meant to be given these things in this fashion and in this manner, and there's nothing, you know, that I'm feeling bad about when the person comes and they clean up after me, or say, for example, the helper in the home. She scrubs the toilet and she mops the floor and she makes sure my uniforms are ironed and my shoes are polished and whatever it may be. And I just feel like, yeah, it's her job. She's getting paid for it. So what? This is something that our children will keep with them if we don't give them the responsibility of doing those chores once in a while. So when our child has scrubbed the toilet for today and they realize, and I know this one sounds more like a punishment, but when they realize, sure, that was quite a task. Or you say to them, okay, polish your own shoes today because you know what, whatever it may be. And they do it and, sure, this really took a lot of energy out of me. The next time it's ready for them, they're grateful. They're appreciative. They know they know the value of how much time and energy it took to do it. So when we give our children chores, it's also a way of teaching them gratefulness and gratitude.
Makes them grow up also with lots of responsibility, which is
important.
With
the responsibility. And also, Sister Bibaisha, you will find that these children are so pleasant, mashallah, then to people that help them. To the waitress at a restaurant, to the person that's the bowser boy, do we call him, the guy that's filling up your petrol, the lady, the cashier at the till. They are so much more pleasant because now they don't just see these people as menial workers whom we employ and we pay and they just do everything for us. Or, you know, they're in these positions because, you know, they're so low and down there. They start seeing these people as human beings. Mm-hmm. That is why, you know, I find it's really sometimes in conversation with acquaintances, I hear them saying things like, no, his dad told him that if he's coming to the business, he's got to start right at the bottom like everybody else. And I find it so amazing if we can do this with our kids because it gives them a sense of understanding now about what each person's role is, and they're much more grateful, and they see these people as human beings now, not just as menial robots going through the motions of things to make our life more comfortable.
Exactly, and they realize it. So it's hard work pays off.
Definitely.
Definitely, hard work pays off. However, we can please go back to, you know, orphans, when we talk about think about the orphans who pray to have parents, even if maybe one of their parents have passed on, and yet with us, you know, we often, like we said, take our parents for granted that, yes, our parents are supposed to be doing this for us, or our parents are just there. And we're just reflecting on orphans again.
I think with this, perhaps if the youth are listening to us, Sister Vivasha, they may even say things like, oh my goodness, they're being so somber and they're being so morbid about this. But the truth of the matter is that what we're actually trying to, the message we're trying to bring home here is that if you cannot get your understanding right, or if you are still not feeling grateful enough for the blessing that Allah has given you of parents, then one of the ways that we can do this is by reflecting on the fact that those orphans that don't have any parents, and let's not go far, Sister Biraisha, we don't even need to look at countries outside, you know, of South Africa.
Yes.
Let's look at the orphanages within South Africa. Take our children there and let them spend the day with these orphans. Alhamdulillah, with the girls, we had the opportunity of doing that with the girls' orphanage in Lemasi. And the girls went there and we spent the day with them. They did their whole, you know, took them some gifts, and
yeah,
they had a meal with them, and they did a whole lot of fun activities with them. But many of them, when they left, they said to me, Appa, I'm just thinking about it, that today was a happy day for them because people were coming over. But every other day,
what happens?
And every day we go home to a house full of siblings or parents, and, you know, we just know that everything's set, and it's almost as though every day is going to be a happy day. Every day is going to be a normal day. Whereas for them, only when there's a highlight, an event, an activity, that's when something that they look forward to. Other than that, not that these homes don't take the best care of them. Yes, they do.
Yes.
But every day is just a normal day for them. There's no one there that's a true mom or dad. There may be people who stand in as mother figure, you know, just if the kids need to speak to, or someone as a dad if the kids need some support or whatever it may be. But no one there that truly plays that role that your mom and dad would play. Because I was saying to the students, you know, a few days ago, think about it. Even when your parents are really upset with you and they really cross with you, one of the things that sometimes we may not understand is that why is it that even when they dish out punishments and, you know, it comes to the point where it's actually time now for you to carry it out, and they look at you and, you know, your shoulders are sunk and you're dragging your feet, and they automatically say, okay, bye, leave it.
They feel sorry for you because they love you.
Yeah, I feel sorry for you. Okay, bye, leave it. It's fine. But next time, don't do that. So it's almost as though that compassionate nature of a parent would just never leave a parent. And this is why, if anything, let's be grateful, because no one can take the place of our parents. Never, ever. No matter who tries to, and no matter how much they try, the real genuineness of a parent, the love and the care that they give to a child, can never be underestimated. So even these orphans, even these kids that are in the care of others, they are being cared for, yes, most certainly. And the love that is being given to them is a genuine form of love. But Allah, in His infinite mercy, has put a very different kind of flavor in the love that a parent and child, a biological parent and child share.
SubhanAllah. Appa, if you can please explain to our youth, I'm sure many of them are aware of it, but again, like I said, a reminder for myself first and to our listeners, what is Sijda-i Shukr and why should we be practicing it often?
So sajda shukr is basically a sajda that we make to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a sajda that is connected to any salah or anything like that, like you would get sajda tilawa for if you recite an ayah of Quran that is overlying, you know, it has a line on top of it, then you need to, you know, make a sajda. No, it has nothing to do with any other form of ibadah. Sajda-e-Shukr is basically a sajda that we do as a means of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we know about this? Because it was something that was prevalent in the life of our pious predecessors. We would see them do this. That if any good news came to them, or if you know, something happened that they were very grateful for. Like many of the ulama tell us, you know, in the beginning of Surah Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salam narrates a dream to his dad where he says that I saw these stars prostrating, and there was the sun and the moon, and, you know, and then at the end of the dream, these brothers lined up to prostrate to their mom and dad. So the mom and dad were on the throne, and these brothers like lined up and they did a sajda. So this, many ulama say, when explaining this part, Mufassirin, scholars of tafsir explain that this was not a sajda, like ibadah sajda. Mm-hmm. This was a sajda by these children to thank Allah that they were united again and they had their mom and dad with them, and as a family they were connected, and you know, the malice and the, all those things that they felt towards one another had left their hearts, and everything was like, you know, there was a harmony in their family. Because of this harmonious environment, this sajda is what they were doing as gratitude to thank Allah. So this, in essence, for lack of a better way of explaining it, this in essence is what sajda to shukr is. It's a sajda that we do when our emotions are high, and you know, we're feeling this need, like we're bursting with gratitude to Allah. We have so much to be thankful for, and right there and then we fall down in sajda before Allah, and we thank Allah. And we express whatever words in sajda that we would like to thank Him. And, you know, I actually saw something so interesting, Sister Bibi Aisha, a few days ago. And I'd like to share it. It's a means of thanking Allah, a dua.
Please.
Allahumma lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhik wa azimi sultanik. Allahumma lakal hamd, O Allah, all praise be to you, kama yambaghi. You know, part of this dua is so amazing simply because of this. We're not saying, O Allah, all praise be to you, like this and like that. We're saying, kama yambaghi. I don't even have it in my vocabulary, Ya Allah, to actually put the words together, string the words together to use to thank you. So, kama yambaghi, like how it is appropriate. Kama yambaghi, li jalali wajhik. For the effulgence that stems from you. Wa azimi sultanik. And for the greatness of your dominion and authority, that you reign supreme over all of your creation. That's the way that I am thanking you, Ya Allah. I'm thanking you according to that, because my words of gratitude, even if I strung words together to thank you, would most likely be flawed and I wouldn't be able to thank you enough. So I'm thanking you in appropriateness of your greatness, Ya Allah.
Subhanallah. Ameen. Ameen. It's a beautiful, beautiful dua. Something our youth should be practicing, inshallah. And I'm sure they are. And so much to be grateful for, especially now during this month of Ramadan. You know, a lot of our youth are involved in activities where they are trying to assist other people. And inshallah, Allah Pak, grant them barakat and grant them more and make them realize that they have so much to be grateful for. About if we can, you know, like we said, there's lots of opportunities for our youth in today's time. Than ever before. I mean, you know, previously, obviously, there wasn't opportunities for education. Things were very, very different. And, you know, now, again, like we say, we take these things for granted. What are your thoughts on this?
If I were to leave the youth with just one message for this morning, and I see our time is quickly running out, so yes, if I were to just leave them with a little message. My dear youth, my beloved youth, if there were anything that I could say to you, I would say to you what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, the way he left messages for the Sahaba in his various, you know, in the various interactions that he had with them. So one I already mentioned to you, that was with Mu'adh. The other one that I'd like to mention to you was when Jabir radiallahu anhu was setting off somewhere. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Jabir, when you come back, you won't find me. You will find my qabr. Now, I want you to take a moment, my dear youth, and imagine. This was a young man who perhaps loved his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not perhaps, most certainly loved his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. even more than he loved anyone else. And for someone to say that to you, you won't find me, you'll find my father. It probably shattered him just there and then. Like, must I still go? Must I not go? That kind of a thing. But listen to what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. But there will be others after me. So make sure that when you return, you are one to follow through with whatever the leadership demands at that time. My dear youth, I'm not saying this. Our Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left us with this. You are our leaders of tomorrow. We are now pinning our hopes in you. Latch yourselves onto an alim. And you know, every area now has these young, vibrant ulama that really appeal to the youth. So go and sit in their halaqa, sit in their, you know, in the discussions that they are having. And when they are doing good work in the communities, be it going out in jamaat, putashkil, be it doing these aid distributions, be it, you know, going to serve at a soup kitchen or an orphanage or whatever, go. Take benefit from being in their company. See how they interact with people. Because I can only tell you one thing. The legacy that they are leaving behind for you as the youth is one that you can keep with you until the day of Qiyamah and will most certainly benefit you and keep you on the right path.
Ameen.
Have so many opportunities. Take these opportunities. Don't let them dwindle by simply because I feel I'm still young. I still have time. I'll get there when I'll change. Why now?
Alhamdulillah. Abba Jazakumullahu Khairan for your beautiful words of wisdom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts and reward you in abundance for the outstanding work that you're doing empowering our youth, inshallah. Please remember us in your du'as. And to our beloved listeners, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your du'as. Please remember us in your du'as. And on behalf of myself and my sound engineer, Hafiz Anzala Hafiji, please remember us in your du'as. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your du'as as well, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.